Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Last week, the Senate passed the Respect for Marriage Act, codifying homosexual marriage in legislative law. You may not have heard about this on the news because the left likes to do these things under the radar. There's an old adage that goes, the right is afraid that people will not know why they're doing what they're doing, but the left is afraid that people will know why they're doing what they're doing. To make the point, the wife of the Democrat Senator Michael Bennett was caught by two undercover journalists saying Democrats shouldn't talk about what's really in the Inflation Reduction Act and how they could defund the police quietly. She also said that the most successful efforts in Washington, D.C. are the ones that you'll never see on the front page of the paper. And she's a law professor at the University of Denver. So don't underestimate how evil is done in secret, you know, as the Bible says, in darkness. Well, the title of this bill, the Respect for Marriage Act, is a self-serving lie. The bill is actually all about a disrespect for God's institution of marriage. You know, it's just like the recent Inflation Reduction Act, which authorized the spending of $700 billion, most of which was allegedly to stop climate change. The bill doesn't reduce inflation, but actually does the opposite. It increases inflation, but it's still called the Inflation Reduction Act. You know, the left is either becoming so bold in their lying or so deluded that they're calling bills by the opposite of what they intend to do. And that's really bizarre. So just like the Inflation Reduction Act had nothing to do with stopping inflation, the Respect for Marriage Act has nothing to do with respect for marriage. Unprincipled, ungodly legislators are getting more bold in calling evil good and good evil. So it wasn't enough that the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage under Obergefell back in 2015. The political left wants it also codified into legislative law. The bill was sponsored in the House by the far-left New York Congressman Jerry Nadler. Bill H-8404 passed the House in July. And the bill was sponsored in the Senate by the far-left Senator Dianne Feinstein. Bill 4556, which just passed the Senate on November 30th. And the bill passed 61-39 in the Senate. 12 left-leaning Republicans went over to the Democrat side and supported the bill, which is another sign of the time. Now the two bills need to be worked together, and then it's off to the president to sign into law. But if same-sex marriage had already been legalized by the Supreme Court, what's the purpose of this bill? Well, the LGBT community was claiming that the current Supreme Court might overturn the Obergefell decision, which legalized same-sex marriage in 2015, just like the court recently overturned Roe v. Wade, which in 1973 legalized abortion nationwide. And hence, if Obergefell is overturned, the same-sex marriage issue would go back to the states. As is right now, the Defense of Marriage Act is still on federal books, and 35 states still ban same-sex marriage in their constitutions. However, the legislative branch, the House, the Senate, and the president signing, codifying same-sex marriage doesn't prevent the Supreme Court from someday declaring both the Obergefell decision unconstitutional and the current Respect for Marriage Act unconstitutional. Because according to the Constitution, these moral questions belong to the states. The 10th Amendment. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Unquote. And we all know that the Constitution of the United States says nothing about the federal government having the authority to force same-sex marriages on the states. And the same holds true for abortion. The federal government doesn't have the authority to force the states to legalize abortion. Hence, abortion was overturned by the Supreme Court in the Dobbs decision this last summer. The real reason for the Respect for Marriage Act is really twofold. It's virtue signaling to the LGBTQ that their politicians are supporting them. This bill is another effort to normalize LGBTQ behavior. But second, and probably this is the real reason for the bill, by codifying same-sex marriage into federal law, it makes it easier for LGBTQ activists to prosecute those who do not support and celebrate same-sex marriage. In the words of Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, the Disrespect for Marriage Act makes people prime targets for government harassment, investigation, prosecution, even civil action. This bill is a club with which the left will attempt to beat people of Orthodox faith who believe in marriage as God designed it and history has defined it into submission to their destructive sexual ideology. Tony Perkins. If LGBTQ becomes the law of the land, and if a nonprofit organization does not support LGBTQ, federal agencies like the IRS can much easier declare such organizations non-charitable and hence take away their tax-exempt status, such as what happened in the Bob Jones University case. Back in the 1970s, Bob Jones University didn't support interracial marriage for religious reasons. Now, that position is questionable, but that was their belief. The IRS took away their tax-exempt status, claiming that, therefore, they were not a charitable organization, and the Supreme Court sided with the IRS. The precedent set in this case was that a compelling public interest can override religious freedom. If an overall moral opinion of the nation conflicts with the religious beliefs of a group, then public opinion wins. Because as we know, law is no longer a function of the law of nature, nature's God, but it's a function of the majority of people's opinion. The law positivism of Oliver Wendell Holmes. In the Bob Jones University ruling, the Supreme Court said that since Congress did not intervene to stop the IRS, which Congress could have done, then Congress was tacitly supporting the IRS's decision to take away Bob Jones University's tax-exempt status. These federal agencies, therefore, can make up their own law if Congress is not objecting. So the Respect for Marriage bill is Congress's approval of forcing LGBTQ acceptance. It codifies LGBTQ behavior into federal law. So now government agencies like the IRS and the Department of Education have greater legal authority to enforce LGBTQ acceptance under penalty of law. This bill is about LGBTQ supporters using the power of government to change the morality of the culture, to further normalize the behavior, and to further marginalize Christian values, even to persecute. The bill states that the Attorney General may bring a civil action in the appropriate United States District Court against any person who violates this bill. And that's a blank check for our current leftist Attorney General, Merrick Garland. And the bill also states that any person who is harmed by a violation of the Respect for Marriage Act may bring a civil action against the person who violates the bill. So this is open season on LGBTQ dissenters. Think of the recent lawsuits against the Christian photographer, the Christian baker, the Christian florist, who would not offer their services to support same-sex weddings. This bill gives LGBTQ activists legal authority to continue to go after these Christians. It also gives these people the authority to go after Christian colleges that do not allow for same-sex unions among their faculty or in their student body. Most likely, the first institutions to be prosecuted will be the Christian colleges and parachurch organizations because they are easier targets. Not only will their tax-exempt status be taken away, but their policies will be considered unconstitutional, which will mean change the policy or shut down. But later, once LGBTQ is further normalized, the left will go after the churches. You see, the goal is to outlaw Christian morality. Not just allowing for immoral practices, but outlawing positive righteousness. And this is a multi-step process that takes place over a generation. First, no law can have a religious basis. Laws based upon God or religion are considered unfair, unjust. God is removed from the legal system. Second, the next step is to remove the morals and practices of Christianity from public institutions. Then, the removal of the morals and the practices of Christianity from private institutions. Then, the final step is the direct persecution of Christians and beliefs. This week, the Supreme Court is considering the case Creative versus Elenis. A Christian web designer would not make websites for homosexual weddings. And the Colorado Civil Rights Commission went after this Christian for discrimination. What's amazing is that even after the Christian Baker case was settled by the Supreme Court, in favor of citizens not being forced to conduct business that violates their religious beliefs. That was the Masterpiece versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission in 2017. LGBTQ activists don't care. They're still prosecuting Christians as if the Supreme Court never ruled on the issue because they believe they must practice civil disobedience and keep prosecuting. The intent of the Respect for Marriage Act is to set the legal stage for the government outlawing and persecuting Christian morals. And let me repeat what I've said often. The persecution of God's people is never over doctrine. We won't be persecuted because we believe in heaven or because we believe in the deity of Jesus or the resurrection. Not yet, anyway. It's always persecution over biblical moral standards of righteousness. What bothers the unsaved the most is opposition to their lusts, their murders, their drugs, their alcohol, their greed. Revelation chapter 9, verse 21. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. And they hate the people who point out and represent the guilt of their sin. And so Christians are always persecuted, not because of religious doctrine, but under the pretext that they're denying people rights, that they're haters of the human race, that they're troubling the people, that they're holding back progress, that they're a threat to people's health and safety. And when Christians hear these reasons for the persecution, many are deceived into thinking, well, we must be doing something wrong, because we're not being persecuted for our doctrinal beliefs. I'm not going to jail or losing my job because I believe Jesus is Lord, but because I'm anti-abortion or I'm anti-LGBTQ. So is that the sword I really want to fall on? Well, the answer is yes, because persecution for practicing biblical morality is always persecution against Christ. For the world, you can say Jesus is Lord all you want, as long as Jesus is not Lord, as long as you redefine Jesus. So the bottom line, and the surprise is this, the persecution of the church in these last days is coming through LGBTQ behavior. The Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, that the corruption that is in the world is through lust. That we, Christians, through Christ, have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that's a text which I've always found intriguing. The Greek word is epithumos, which means a strong passion or desire. And in the context, it's referring to evil, unlawful desires, which include desires for wealth, for power, and inordinate sexual desires. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So the problem with sinful humanity, right from the fall of man in the garden, is that our desires are corrupt. Rather than desiring God and his righteousness, we desire human autonomy, the sinful flesh, degrading, twisted passions. Romans chapter 1. And what the ungodly world is doing is reshaping government after man's lusts. Man's desires, not God's. This is the battle of the ages. And standing for God's morality is what it means to stand for God. So here's some proof that the bill has been created by the radical left to set up for the persecution of the church. Three conservative senators put forth amendments to the bill, specifying that this bill will not be used to prosecute those who do not agree with same-sex marriage. Senator Mike Lee from Utah, Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma, and Senator Marco Rubio from Florida. And their amendments sound reasonable. Of course, these Democrats only want to protect same-sex marriage. They certainly don't want to force everyone to accept same-sex marriage. Or do they? Lee's amendment reads as follows. In general, nothing in this act or any amendment made by this act shall be construed or diminished or abrogate a religious liberty or conscious protection otherwise available to an individual organization under the Constitution of the United States or federal law. Goods or services consistent with the First Amendment to the Constitution, nonprofit religious organizations, including churches, mosques, synagogues, temples, non-denominational ministries, interdenominational and ecumenical organizations, mission organizations, faith-based social agencies, religious educational institutions, and nonprofit entities, whose principal purpose is the study, practice, or advancement of religion, or any employee of such an organization, shall not be required to provide services, accommodation, advantages, facilities, goods, or privileges for the solemnization or celebration of a marriage. Any refusal under this subsection to provide such services, accommodations, advantages, facilities, goods, or privileges shall not create any civil claim or cause of action. No impact on status and benefits not arising from a marriage, nothing in this act or any amendment made by this act shall be construed to deny or alter any benefit, status, or right of an otherwise eligible entity or person, including tax-exempt status, tax treatment, educational funding, or a grant, contract, agreement, guarantee, loan, scholarships, licenses, certifications, accreditation, provide such benefit, status, or rights do not arise from a marriage. So do you see what this amendment was trying to do? Allow for LGBTQ freedom in the bill, but also allow for equal anti-LGBTQ freedom. Here is Mike Lee standing on the Senate floor making an appeal for his amendment.
In the hope that we can come to a place where we respect each other, I have offered an amendment to this legislation that would explicitly minimize the threats to these religious organizations and individuals. I'm at the table. I'm willing to compromise. And in the spirit of compromise, I've publicly stated, and I reiterate here again today, that I will support the legislation if my amendment is adopted. My amendment simply prohibits the federal government from discriminating against schools, businesses, and organizations based on their religious beliefs about same-sex marriage. That's all it does. My amendment prevents the Internal Revenue Service, among other things, from revoking the tax-exempt status of these charities and organizations simply because they act according to their beliefs about the divine purpose of marriage. It prevents the Department of Education from targeting schools with honor codes based on the fact that they've got provisions in their honor codes based on religious beliefs. It protects individuals from being denied business licenses or grants or other statuses based on their views about marriage. It protects Americans who wish to act according to their religious beliefs from being forced to abandon their God-given mandates to love, serve, and care for the poor, the orphan, and the refugee. If we allow the government to threaten their ability to do so, then the religious liberty of every American is in peril. As I said, Madam President, we must be willing to compromise to protect the interests of all. I urge my colleagues to support my amendment, which would assure that all Americans would have certain rights and that their religious beliefs and their moral convictions will be explicitly protected and provide some comfort that Congress is not purposely passing laws that restrict the free exercise of religion.
Lee's speech actually goes on for another 20 minutes, and he clearly lays out the reasonableness of his amendment and how the current bill will be used to prosecute those who do not support same-sex marriage. You can read the whole speech in this article from the Daily Signal. But the Senate, knowing all this, did not pass Lee's amendment. So it wasn't added to the bill. Because the prosecution of those who are opposed to LGBTQ is what this bill is all about. Lee's amendment would have torpedoed the real intent of the bill. The sodomites have truly taken over the governments of men. Now, in the House version of this bill, H-8404, there is a similar religious freedom amendment that was added, but the House version doesn't protect private individuals, just religious institutions. For the bill to go to the president's desk, to be signed into law, both the House version and the Senate version have to be identical. This means another vote from the House approving the Senate bill. The House would have to take another vote on the Senate version that doesn't contain the religious or civic protections. Will that happen before the new Republican-led Congress is seated in January? Let's hope not. By way of conclusion or summary, I would like to list some spiritual biblical lessons we can learn from the passing of this bill. All this is prophetic. First, we see the moral change in our country happening rapidly. In a recent Gallup poll, 70% of the public is in favor of same-sex marriage. Back in 1997, it was only 27%. The values of our culture have changed. LGBTQ is being normalized because biblical truth is no longer taught. Biblical truth is banned from public schools. This bill actually states that it is repealing the Defense of Marriage Act passed in 1996 that gave states the right not to recognize the same-sex marriages of other states. And that for the purposes of federal law, marriage is defined as one man, one woman. This bill is saying that the values of the past, even values from just 25 years ago, were wrong. And that is a huge moral ideological shift that foreshadows the age of the Antichrist. An age where law is based upon human lust, not the law of nature, nature's God. What we're seeing is a conscious, direct repudiation of God's law in this world. Psalm chapter 2, let us cast our cords from us. The removal of ancient boundaries, Proverbs 22:28. This is the rejection of God's law, that law that Western nations have held to for the past 1,700 years. Homosexual marriage was practiced in ancient Rome. And in 342, the Christian emperor, Constantius II, outlawed the practice. The world began to embrace Christian truth. But now, in the 20th century, the 21st century, there is a reversal, a return to paganism. The time of God's mercy, the time of God's mercy to the Gentiles is coming to an end. In Daniel chapter 7, we read that the final world empire of the beast will be a confederation of 10 nations led by a ruler who will wage war with the saints and overpower them. Verse 21. And in Daniel 7:25, he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law. What times and laws will be altered? Well, given the context, those laws that agree with God's moral law and the laws that protect God's people. The ruler will be called the man of lawlessness. Not that he won't have laws, he certainly will have totalitarian laws, but his laws will be godless laws. And any law that's not according to the law of God is a non-law. Man's law cannot make moral what God declares to be immoral. The left is claiming that the passing of this Respect for Marriage Act is a historic moment, a landmark occasion. And it is. This bill crosses one more goalpost on the way to Sodom, on the way to the prophesied great rebellion at the end of this age. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. For the day of the Lord will come when there is a great rebellion and the man of lawlessness is revealed. And notice the speed at which this change has taken place. In 2017, we had same-sex marriage. Now, boys can play in women's sports. LGBT curriculum has been created and inculcated into our public schools. Companies are hiring DEI officers. The wind is at the back of the LGBTQ agenda. And it's picking up speed. Because there's a spiritual dimension to this whole thing. Where is this going? Well, eventually the persecution of the church. Prepare yourself for that. There was an interesting article in the Federalist that explained the goal of all totalitarian states, as in the Communist Manifesto, is the abolition of the family. The goal is to do away with marriage, to depict marriage as a bigoted, discriminatory institution. And the left in their periodicals are already writing about this. They want marriage to be nothing more than a legal contract between two parties, and the state would have the authority to broker those contracts. So the state can regulate all social interactions. Quote, the government will no longer have to recognize any biological relationships. It need not recognize any legal rights you might have as the parent of your biological child. Much groundwork has already been laid by surrogacy and abortion laws that treat children as chattel to buy and sell and dispose at will. In this scenario, you'd likely need a license to raise your own child, an old communist goal. Indeed, there is no reason to doubt that the Respect for Marriage Act serves as a midwife to the radical left's long-held goal of abolishing state recognition of marriage. It will allow the government to regulate our relationships, render each of us naked before its power. Such atomization is a totalitarian necessity. The path to human atomization is the natural arc of all totalitarian systems in the making. They must first isolate people in order to control them through terror. Tyrants always mask their intentions by borrowing from tradition, using words like respect for marriage, love, equality, as they march us all into virtual solitary confinement. There's nothing new about this trajectory. It's a long-standing vision of all totalitarian systems, which first came into the open with the Communist Manifesto proclamation, abolish the family. Communists refer to traditional religion as the opium of the people while setting up communism as a pseudo-religion. Well, that's all true. But in explaining the reasons, that article gets kind of philosophical. The better explanation is really 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. The corruption that is in the world by lust, lust for sexual deviance, lust for power. A second point we need to learn in all this is how unbelievers in their rebellion against God in the last days will truly believe that they're doing what is morally good. I've talked about this often. Human freedom has become the basis for law rather than the law of God. And with human freedom as the foundation, A whole edifice of immorality is built upon that foundation. And since the left thinks that their policies are consistent with their moral foundation, they consider themselves logical and righteous. So that being educated and consistent fools people into thinking that they're righteous, when in fact, they're unrighteous because they're arguing from the wrong premise. This week, someone sent me a clip from R.C. Sproul, and it applies here, so let me share it.
If a person begins the pattern of their thinking at the outset by refusing to acknowledge what they know to be true, that is, by starting with the rejection of the knowledge of God, the more brilliant they are thereafter, and the more consistent they are thereafter, the further away from God their reasoning will lead them. Again, it's not because their faculty of thinking has been extinguished. They can still reason, and they can still argue, and they can argue consistently. But again, if their beginning premise is a denial of what they know to be true and a refusal to acknowledge what they already know, it is no wonder that their conclusions lead them to become shepherds of death.
So people in their sin will believe that they're righteous. John chapter 16. Jesus warned his disciples that those who kill you will actually think that they're serving God. That's how powerful the deception of sin will be. This Respect for Marriage bill begins with three paragraphs about how marriage is such a wholesome institution. Quote, "There is no union more profound than marriage. It embodies the highest ideals of love, fidelity, devotion, sacrifice, and family. And Congress affirms that beliefs about marriage should be given proper respect. Therefore, since same-sex couples have entered into marriage and have enjoyed the rights, privileges, and associations of marriage, couples joining in marriage deserve to have the dignity, stability, and ongoing protection that marriage affords to family and children." So look how they believe they're respecting marriage. Even the title of this bill, they make it sound like the Defense of Marriage Act from 1996, in calling it the Respect for Marriage, as if this is just as virtuous and just as supportive of traditional marriage. The Biden White House put out a statement, "With today's bipartisan Senate passage of the Respect for Marriage Act, the United States is on the brink of reaffirming a fundamental truth. Love is love. And Americans should have the right to marry the person they love. For millions of Americans, this legislation will safeguard the rights and the protections to which LGBTQI+ and interracial couples and their children are entitled. It will also ensure that for generations to follow, LGBTQI+ youth will grow up knowing that they too can lead full, happy lives and build families of their own." It all sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But they're calling wholesome that which God calls an abomination. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. "You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It's an abomination." Or Romans chapter 1, verse 27. "Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error." But here's the important issue to be aware of. The world's acceptance of homosexual marriage will cause most people to believe that it's probably not so bad. It'll be accepted. Because most people get their morals from what the government legalizes and what the culture says. Now, it's not that the Christian community will totally agree with same-sex marriage, but we can easily be weakened in our convictions. I just finished listening to a podcaster, a well-known Christian pundit, who stated that if you're gay, you should have the right to enjoy marriage because that's better than promiscuity. The cultural acceptance of homosexual marriage doesn't lessen the heinousness of the immorality. Social acceptance should be for us just another sign of how much a society can fall into darkness. How much a society can begin to call evil good and good evil, substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Don't be deceived or influenced by the moral ignorance of this world. Let's not become like Lot, living in and conforming to Sodom, going along to get along. So just recognize the moral blindness that is and will be coming upon the unsaved. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. They're darkened in their understanding. They're under a satanic delusion. Someday, when the whole world follows the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 13, and you're the only one who sees the error, are you going to begin to doubt your faith in God and in His Word? Well, I hope not. We must recognize how strong the delusion of sin is going to be and not be swayed. Our love for God must come before our love for man. God is putting the church through all of this to test our faith and to teach us what the kingdom of Satan is going to look like. I'm running out of time, but a final lesson to remember is that in the passing of this bill, it is the passing of their own judgment. Romans chapter 1, God is giving them over to their lusts. The passing of these laws must take place as a witness before judgment falls. Now, when thinking about the passing of this bill, my mind immediately went to the New Testament books of 2 Peter and Jude. These are prophetic texts that give the church an explanation as to the immorality of the last days. And they reassure the church that judgment is coming. Now, I mentioned earlier 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, 2 Peter 1, 4, where Peter writes about the corruption that is in the world by lust. Peter will again pick up this theme in chapter 2, where he explains to the church that false teachers, political or religious, will be guided by their sensuality. Chapter 2, verse 2. Then Peter goes on to describe these people as indulging the flesh in its corrupt desires, verse 10. They are enticed by fleshly desires, by sensuality, verse 18. Their identity and their purpose is their sexuality. Does that sound familiar? But the purpose for why Peter warns the church of these people is to encourage the church by way of a reminder that God's judgment is coming. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, their judgment has been ordained from long ago and is not idle and does not sleep. So there's the answer to those who ask, where is the God? Where is God in all of this national immorality? 2 Peter 2, 4, God has reserved for these people the pits of darkness. 2 Peter 2, 17, for whom the black darkness has been reserved, which is the same phrase repeated in the book of Jude, verse 13, for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. And in 2 Peter 2, 9, and the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. So Christians are warned not to be taken in by the sensual conduct, and Christians are reminded that severe judgment is coming. What's the Christian to do in this final period of rebellion and immorality? Well, we need to double down on our faith, our evangelism, our holy living. After the book of Jude describes these immoral men and the judgment that awaits, he has a word to the Christians concerning what to do. Jude 21. But you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.